I'm joined by The Guardian's Martin Chuloff, who's in southern Turkey after a four-day trip in Aleppo. Martin, just give us, first of all, your take on the defection of Manaf Tlas.
It is significant. It is probably the most significant defection we've seen in the past 16 months. This general was a leading Sunni general. He ran a brigade within the Republican Guard, which is run by Maher al-Assad, Bashar's brother. He was trusted. I wouldn't say he was a direct member of the Inner Sanctum, but he was certainly very much taken into the confidence of the Inner Sanctum. And for him to flee to Turkey, and we believe he's heading to Paris with his family, is probably the first high-profile defection we've had so close to the regime.
The fact that he's a Sunni, would that be make it easier for the regime to dismiss?
Yes, it would, and they are doing just that. They're saying that it's not significant, it matters very little. It does matter, though. He was one of the most trusted members of the Sunni community within the government, either within the security establishment or within the political establishment itself. This particular general came from Rastan, which has been particularly heavily hit during the crackdown. Rastan is between Homs and Hama. He had been known to be disaffected for quite some time, and there had been some rumours in recent months that he'd been under effective house arrest. Now, today we're hearing that his house in Damascus was ransacked yesterday afternoon after his family members had left. And as I say, he's believed now to be in Turkey, next destination Paris.
And how's the news of the defection going down among activists and rebels?
It was the talk of the town this morning. We were out and about with various rebels in southern Turkey, and they all knew about it. It had emboldened them, and they thought that it would potentially be a lightning rod for other senior Sunni officers still inside Syria.
You're going to write a piece about what you saw in Aleppo. Can you give us a bit of a preview?
It was Aleppo province is where we were, the hinterland surrounding Aleppo itself. The city was impossible to reach. It was under a full lockdown, checkpoints everywhere, couldn't penetrate it. But the countryside very near Aleppo was under complete siege. It had been emptied of families. There were no women, no children. The only people in these towns, in these villages, were men of fighting age. They were bunkered down in basements. We barely saw a person on the streets. There were shells peppering the day and the night. There were snipers everywhere, and it was very much a feel of an area under complete siege. I mean, it seemed to be almost a situation of full-blown war there. In terms of basic provisions, no gas, no benzene, very little food, and a very bleak and very torrid situation indeed.
Are there parts of the area that are under control of the rebels?
Yeah, the areas that we were in were under control of the rebels, and that, as I say, they control basically the hinterland surrounding Aleppo. Not all of it, but most villages. The city itself still remains under the control of the regime. However, there are daily uprisings, there are daily demonstrations, and there are daily clashes within the city too. But the countryside is occupied by the pre-Syria army. A lot of these towns and villages are shelled most days from afar by regime forces. And there are clashes at strategic areas such as high ground, major checkpoints, major highways, which were littered with the shells of burnt up tanks and transporting lorries.
There's been talk that Turkey's more hostile stance in the last few weeks and the deployment of Turkish troops on the border has created some form of de facto buffer zone inside Syria. Is that the feeling you got?
Yeah, it is. There are certain crossing points, the one that we used last night, for example. It's a village about 4 kilometres inside of Syria, and it's at the area between that and the Turkish border is completely safe. I mean, rebels come and go as they please. Sometimes they have to negotiate with the Turkish army to actually get across the frontier, but by and large they can do it. And that buffer zone actually extends beyond this village, another 10 kilometres further into Syria, where regime troops have not been for the last 7 months or so. So there is a de facto de facto buffer zone in all but name in some areas. It doesn't span the entire length of the border, but rebels do know where it is, and they can go there to seek refuge and in some cases R&R or resupply.
You've been to Homs in recent months and in and out of northern Syria. Does it now feel safer to do that?
Getting into northern Syria from Turkey is by far the better option these days. Getting in via Lebanon is extremely difficult, and it's not to be recommended. There are numerous places along the Syrian border with Turkey where people can cross, and people are crossing, whether they be activists, whether they be some fighters who are traveling to Turkey in order to travel to Syria, or whether they are Free Syrian Army members who regularly cross the border either to meet their families in Antakya province in Turkey or to organise some kind of a weapons run back into the country. But the border is tighter than it was a couple of weeks ago, but it is still reasonably porous.
How do you see this playing out over the next few months?
Look, I think the situation in Syria is miserable, and it's going to get worse, unfortunately. It's a particularly torrid situation inside. Rebels know that they've locked into almost a grinding war of attrition now. They do say that the Syrian army itself is tired, and there is reason to believe that that is the case. They've been on the run in a state of war for almost a year now, all around the country. They only have a handful of capable and well-supplied divisions. A lot of these divisions that we're seeing around Aleppo and Idlib are not particularly battle-ready at the moment, and they're still struggling as well as the opposition side to get benzene and to keep their army on the move and resupplied. So it is a war of attrition. There is a collective punishment going on in many of these villages that don't have food, don't have the basic necessities. They think that they can prevail, they can continue on like this. But when they face up to, you know, their new reality, that this is likely to continue for many more months, this is something that actually does grind them down too. So, you know, I think it's a situation that's going to get steadily worse. There may be a couple of events which sort of, I guess, bring things to a head. There may be a couple more high-profile defections like today. If that happens, it could be a game changer. But my sense is it's just going to steadily deteriorate.
Okay, Martin, I look forward to reading your pieces. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matthew.